Greetings, ladies and gentlemen, carefully and most beautifully merged into one single listener. Tis I, James McLean, not the editor of Casterbris.com, not even the associate editor of this Casterbris.com. I'm not actually sure why I'm here. I'm not even sure why I'm doing this intro. Today we have Christian Corley, who is the editor of Casterbris.com and the leader of this merry pack. And to my far, far, far left, I have Brian Terranova, who is the associate editor, wonderful Doctor Who dresser upper. In fact, I would say he's a wonderful occasional non-Doctor Who dresser upper. And what we're talking about this week, it's about clothing, isn't it? Interestingly.
It is, fashion. Isn't it? Yeah. That was a good intro. That well done. You should do them more often. So, Doctor Who.
Awkward pause.
Doctor Who, fashions. And not fashions across the show itself, but the Doctor's changing sartorial elegance. We saw last week a smashing picture, or all three smashing pictures, of the 11th Doctor, as played by Matt Smith, with his new still unnamed character companion, Jenna Louise Coleman, or played by Jenna Louise, in which the Doctor's in a sort of a darker ensemble of his traditional bow tie and tweed look, and obviously he's got some fans with a fashion bone in their bodies getting excited that he might be changing his look. Brian, what do you think?
I actually really like the look.
Yeah.
I think you'll find if you troll through the Casterbris forum right after he was cast and everybody was wondering what he was going to wear, you'll find that I actually described exactly that outfit minus the bow tie. Because that was the idea, that was the outfit that I had in mind for my Doctor for quite a few years, because it was just what had seemed to me like something the Doctor would wear.
Yeah. When you say for your Doctor, can you just clarify that statement?
Sorry, whenever I was thinking fan film Doctors, yeah. With friends, you know, so I had, that was kind of a thing that I had envisioned. Like, maybe not the exact color scheme going on, but I had mentioned the same thing, and I actually had said, I'll bet you Moffat puts him in, and then I described that outfit, like I said, minus the bow tie.
Right.
Which never happened, and, you know, till now.
Till now.
I actually really like the look a lot. I think he looks very good in it too. I think it's very fitting for Matt Smith.
Yeah, he does. He looks pretty dapper. What do you think, James?
I think he looks dapper as well. I quite like it. It's a little different to what they did with Tennant, where they would just have changed the colour of the outfit, but essentially fit the same outfit. Gone for a very similar theme, but in a far more softer materials, far less coarse. It has a little bit of the, a little more of a backward classical trend to it, which I don't think so bad. I think Zoe's been said, there's these two arguments, isn't there? There's one, that was actually made by Colin Baker at the recent, Collectomania in Milton Keynes, where he said that the Doctor should wear stuff which looks quite normal.
Yeah,
because he'd want to do bad. He wants to get involved in things, and he wants to do. He doesn't want to be noticed. He doesn't want to draw attention to himself.
Yeah.
But then on the other hand, the whole beauty of the Doctor is he's anachronistic, isn't he? You never know quite where he comes from. He never quite fits in anywhere. So clothes to a certain degree should reflect that. And the new look sort of does both. Really, it's not too outlandish, but it doesn't feel quite in sync with everything, does it?
Mm. I think looking at it, it's the sort of outfit that I would probably wear, whereas the you know, the original 11th Doctor outfit, I wouldn't go near with a barge pole.
Mm. Yes, no, I'd agree with that. What about you, Brian? Yeah,
so, no, I definitely would too.
Well, you'd wear both, let's face it, given the chance.
No. I do 10. I know quite enough 11s. I don't go there.
I think, to be honest with you, I think Brian would wear John Pertwee's cleaner's outfit.
I have that outfit, yes.
From the Green Death.
And I do the little voice as well when I wear it. It's fun.
Do you do the milkman as well?
Yes, I do. Okay. Ah, no. Stop it. Tweed.
He's turned into Frankie Howard. Sorry, no. I do continue.
I'm not a fan of the tweed jacket as a style. Like, you know, it was all right for 11. When I first saw it, I was kind of like, eh, I don't really know about it. I wasn't really a fan of it for the Doctor. It looked all right on Sylvester McCoy in the TV movie.
Do you think
it
was a bit too close to Indiana Jones?
You know, a lot of people said that. And I mean, It's a tweed jacket with a bow tie, so sure, it's post Indiana Jones. But aside from that, no. Really, I didn't really think that. I just kind of thought that it didn't strike me at first as something that looked doctorish. But the thing is, I mean, you know, we've had in the past other things that I never thought were doctorish, you know, going back to Colin Baker and Christopher Eccleston. You know, I didn't think that those things were particularly even Peter Davison, actually. I never thought his outfit was doctorish.
So it's interesting, going back to that interview, Colin Baker said that his initial pitch for costume was pretty much what Eccleston got to wear.
Yeah, yeah.
It should be very interesting if he'd had that. I wonder if he'd have been more accepted, actually, if he'd had that. It would have sort of worked a little better with his character, because his character was fairly rough around the edges. It's a slightly rougher costume. Might have just made people understand him a little more, while he just seemed too out there to really feel for, and you didn't want to be him because you didn't want to wear that costume.
Absolutely. Well, I think we can touch on the madness of that particular decision on a later podcast, can't we?
Well, there was another interesting thing they said there, which I found quite cool, was Peter Davison, who has obviously been a long-term person who's had a lot of vocal opinions on his costumes.
Yeah.
The one that he thought was the best was Sylvester McCoy's, bar the question marks.
Yeah.
Because he felt it looked like someone who'd gone through a clothing room and picked stuff off the rack
randomly.
And that's quite interesting, because I'd never really considered that.
Yeah. Question marks aside, I mean, the question marks is, you know, we'll come back to that on a later podcast, but the question marks thing, just briefly now, is just a ridiculous. I mean, you can see where he was coming from. There's that whole, it's, you know, John Nathan Turner knew what he was doing, despite, you know, what you might think about his various decisions. He did know what he was doing, and he was branding Doctor Who with the question mark, as ridiculous as the whole aspect of it is. And perhaps in Remembrance of the Daleks, or certainly in the televised version, but the later version, I'm not sure if the card was in there, but with a little, was it in the televised version?
I think it wasn't. I seem to remember it in the televised.
Which card?
With the Doctor's
calling card. Question.
Yeah, with his calling card.
Yeah, that was in it.
I mean, that ties up nicely, but the whole question mark thing just doesn't really work for me. But I totally agree with what Peter says there. I think I've always liked the Seventh Doctor's various outfits.
Yeah,
I definitely agree. I think he had a very good doctor look, everything, even the hat. And I think if he just had another jumper without those question marks, even the same pattern, it would still be a great look. I don't mind that he wore that just with the question marks. But that said, I actually still kind of really like the question mark umbrella for some reason.
Yeah, like, so do I.
Yeah, I like the umbrella, yeah.
I just liked how he used it.
That would have been a neat touch.
I like how he used it as well. It was very... He took that prop and actually gave, in a sense, it became more iconic because of the way he held it as much as what it looked like.
Well, it was his sonic screwdriver, wasn't it? He didn't have a sonic screwdriver until the TV movie.
And wasn't it even his idea, or was it his idea to have the question mark on it? I thought he wanted like a hand prop.
Yes, I heard that. I remember him saying he came up with the idea.
Yeah.
But that's cool.
I mean, that's neat. And, you know, a couple of the doctors have had their own thing that they had asked for and made their own idea. And usually it was even like costume type decisions. And, you know, Matt Smith made the tweed and the bow tie decision, you know, and to be honest, I mean, it's certainly his doctor now, as much as it's not a look that I particularly enjoy or like Christian said, something that I would even wear. But his new look, I wear jackets like that all the time. I wear them. That's basically my winter coats. I wear jackets like that. I wish I could find thinner ones like.
Are you missing one?
Yes, I am.
I suppose you
I'm
could.
I'm going to wear that darn purple one.
You could argue with Sylvester McCoy's doctor as well, though, is that his character was far more conscious of the mystery behind him. And I mean that within the show, his character seemed to be very happy to carry a shroud of mystery. So in a way, you could look at the umbrella as a sort of play on motif that I could imagine the character actually using as a. As a sort of coy comment about himself. It's pretentious, as I know Russell T. Davis or Moffat would probably write it. It's just the Doctor's pretension coming out.
I think you mean a McCoy. Also...
I was going to say it, but I didn't want to go there.
But there's a certain, as you say, like with the calling card, as if it's his moniker. It's as if he's actually decided that the mystery is a strength to him.
Yeah.
And he's playing with that in a sort of light way that Doctor probably would. Which suits him, but I think the jumper is a hard one to swallow because it just I don't
Although
really see
him. Yeah, I mean, and obviously it chimes in with the collars as well with the previous three Doctors. Does this some Doctor have a question mark on his collars as well?
No, right.
But you know, going back to Pete Davidson's outfit, the times when he's not wearing the outfit, he looks more like he's. Forebears, you know, like his previous incarnation's style of dress than he does when he is wearing it. I mean, it's supposed to be like a cricketing outfit, isn't it? But no one who's ever played cricket has ever worn anything like that. That
which, in a
combined
sense, though,
get-up.
Is good for the character because he liked cricket. He tried to do some kind of cricketing thing, but he got it wrong. You know, and I get that aspect, and I like that kind of aspect. Like, you know, like James was saying, it's or we were saying that it's nice when he's out of place. Mm. Rather than fitting in.
Yeah.
And in that respect for Peter, I like that. But I think what it was that got me, it wasn't just so much that he had this cricketing outfit, you know, and it wasn't very doctored to me. It was the fact that it was perfectly tailored to fit him and made to work together. You know, I agree with Peter, but I've always felt that way about it. It was the second Tom Baker got his maroon outfit or plum, whichever one you want to call that. The Doctor started getting stylized and designed. And his last outfit I liked. I thought it worked very well for Tom, actually. I thought it was a good look. But after you get those next two in line, it was just – there was a little too much. So Sylvester McCoy was a nice break from that. And the new series, they certainly do design, but they do it in such a fashion that they think how the Doctor would have done it, which somehow makes it work a lot better.
Does the Fifth Doctor, to your recollection, have a waistcoat?
He does only in one story.
Is it only one story? Is it? I don't know.
Planet of Fire. Yeah, when they
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Yeah.
Right now, I'm looking at the Doctor Who annual from 1982.
Yeah.
And on page 15, there is a print of Colin Laver's design for the Doctor's outfit. And stripy trousers are more or less a match. But the coat and the waistcoat are so much darker than what he had on screen. They're a darker beige more than the sort of cream that he had.
His first jacket was actually darker than his later ones.
Yeah.
If you watch his first season, it's actually very, very dark in comparison. But yeah, I'd like to see those pictures, actually. I have not seen that. But the vest was only in one, and I thought it was a good look. It was a bit crazy, but not in a Colin Baker way. You know, it was something that if Colin wore it, it probably would have been much better for him. But I liked the look. I know a lot of people actually felt that way too. Like when Peter would ditch the sweater, you know, when he would ditch the sweater, the look was pretty good.
I think what they've possibly done is lightened it to stop it clashing with Peter Davison's hair, to be honest with you.
You know, I had always thought for Peter and kind of probably a bit more based on the color scheme, but if they wanted to go for some kind of structured look or designed look. Picture, not Marcus Scarman, but his brother. The
Lawrence.
The look. Lawrence. Thank
Scarman.
You.
Scarman. Scarman.
From Pyramids of Mars, so we should say for our listener. That kind of 1920s archaeologist kind of style. And I thought it would have been neat for who the Doctor is to kind of have that kind of feel. And for some reason, it seemed like it would have complemented Peter well. But that's still a little too designed for me. But if they wanted more design, somehow I thought that would have been more fitting.
Do you not think the 11th Doctor's outfit is more 1920s archaeologist?
I think his outfit is more, I don't know, 30s, 40s, certainly. But I don't think archaeologist. I think we're only associating that because of Indiana Jones.
Yeah, okay. You know, one of the things I've noticed doing these 50th anniversary reviews on Castor Everest, which, dear listener, I hope you've been reading. You probably have. Is the way in which the first Doctor's outfit he wakes up on a TARDIS morning and puts on a new jacket or, you know, some slightly different item of clothing. There's no, you know, there's quite a mature attitude to what the Doctor wears without locking him into, you know, that coat and scarf for 24 episodes or whatever, or that cricketing overcoat or that multicolored technical dream nightmare coat. You know, it's just he just has a look, and the look just develops over time, just like it would for me or you. And I find that really, really impressive considering where the outfits went, you know, 20 years later.
It is nice that he basically had a basic look, and they've changed, like, ties and vests and even the jacket from time to time.
Scarves,
you know, the
and
pants.
Hats. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they gave him just his style, essentially. It's same thing with Pertwee. Pertwee had his style. You know, he wasn't lumbered with one outfit for very long. He just stayed within a theme.
I think John Pertwee had quite a big say, though, didn't he, in his appearance, his Doctor's appearance.
Well, it was his call. It was, again, another instance where the actor chose the look. You know, it was his grandfather or his great-grandfather's outfit. From being a magician or something like that, and he wanted to wear it as his character, and then the original look was his grandfather's. What's that?
Was he actually a magician? Was he just not an eccentric?
I believe they said he was a magician, but I mean, we could do research on it, but I believe I had read that. I know it was his grandfather, or like I said, great grandfather, and it was something that Pertwee said, this is what I want to do.
Do you think anyone could get away with a crushed velvet outfit like that in 2012?
Oh, I'm sure there's some people that could pull it off. I don't know within this show again, but I'm sure there are some people that could make it
what
happen.
You,
with
Brian?
The frills, though, with the frills, I don't think. I think.
What about you?
Me? I'm wearing it right now. it's what I've chosen to go to work in today. Whether people love it or not, that's up to them.
do you think Austin Powers has killed crushed velvet?
I think it was killed.
I think Pertwee killed it.
I think Liberace probably did it.
There's so many suspects, isn't there?
There really are.
I thought Jimi Hendrix always pulled it off very well. I thought he always looked just looked like the sort of thing that he must have been born in.
Yeah, I can't argue that. He definitely did. But that's what I'm saying. There are some people who just pull these things off well. Right. It either comes down to just their physical appearance or their personality type. Somehow they just pull it off, and Pertwee was able to make it happen. And that's the thing. I mean, like, if you take some of these Doctor Who actors and you try and pair them, like Colin Baker said, Eccleston was his ideal outfit. I can't picture Colin actually in that outfit. I can picture him in the color scheme, the color palette, and it would work well for him.
Yeah.
But I can't picture him. And maybe it's because I'm seeing him currently in his outfit only. But I just don't see it working for him. Can they all carry on each other's looks? I don't know if many of them can.
James, 1984. Your new doctor is wearing drain pipes, a dark jumper, and a black leather jacket. Now, is it me, or does that look like someone off a picket line?
Yes, you're comparing the historical values of the period to the fact that in England we had a lot of working class disputes, miners' strike and the ilk. And the ilk, God, I sound so upper class, the ilk are there, oiks on the line, and would that have been a concern? I don't know. I mean, it was funny, I was looking at this and I was thinking back to roughly around the same time, a couple of years earlier, in 1981, was it 1980? 1980, where Colin played Baben the Butcher for Blake 7.
Mm-hmm.
And he wore a dark leather studded thing. Some of those studs I noticed Paul Darrow borrowed later on.
He still got
likes
them.
And probably still has them. yes, and I thought maybe it would have worked for him. I know what you mean. And I think obviously the problem was at the time. It's kind of funny, really, if you think about it, because John Nathan Turner was a big man for polarization. He liked to try and polarize his next doctor to the last one.
Juxtapose it.
And in a sense, he could have gone two ways with Colin Baker. He could have gone more outlandish. Or he could have gone less and settled it down, which is of course what Colin Baker was suggesting.
Well, I don't think he could have gone more outlandish, could he, unless the Doctor was perhaps wearing a Hawaiian shirt and grew a beard.
No, I meant from Peter Davison Colin Baker.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He could have gone more outlandish, which he did.
Yeah.
As I think Peter Davison again at that recent Five Doctors meeting sort of commented as his costume on drugs is Colin Baker's. Or he could have gone less outlandish and gone something more subtle and juxtaposed that way. And I think obviously it was a mistake to play too colourful. And I hesitate to use the term too camp, given the connotations which so many fans have that anything that a gay writer or producer does in Doctor Who is utterly to do with their sexuality. Russell T. Davis, anything, he had a gay agenda, everything was about him being gay and he was like Rosie. You know, it gets to that stupid point. But... Yeah. I think he made a mistake of going too colourful, too clownish.
What colour is a gay agenda?
Rainbow.
Well, rainbow, yes, I suppose. Thank you. Thank you for getting me out of that horrible trap.
No problem. You know, I don't think the idea of making Colin's outfit a mess and making it not really work together is a bad idea. But the thing is what you do is you give the perception that it doesn't quite work well together. You make him pull things out of the closet, just like Peter Davison always said, and make them not go together. Now, you take a good costume designer who takes color schemes that you would think don't work well together that actually make an interesting looking outfit, but, you know, still are a jumbled kind of mess in a way. What they did instead was they literally just designed a clown suit, because a lot of those color palettes and a lot of those patterns are found on clown suits. And it's just they could have gone with more muted tones. They could have gone with different patterns, but things that looked like they might not work, but actually did in reality work. So he'd have what he wanted. But at the same time, the viewers wouldn't be so turned off by it. So what you're saying is right. He could have gone a couple different directions, or at least one of two directions. But even the direction that he chose, there was another option to go for it. There was a tasteful way, and then there was the way that he chose, unfortunately. My opinion.
Do you think it was a mistake was made in the fact that the Doctor has to be in some ways cool, and if he's not, and Colin Baker's Doctor from the very off start wasn't cool, not just in his look, but the whole point of his character was that he was doing stuff that the audience was saying, "Oh, you can't do that," or "You wouldn't want to do that," you know. I was going to say, like in The Twin Dilemma, obviously is a very bad example because it's an exceptionally bad story. But I mean, he is virtually almost like Blackadder in the sense that what he says to what he does never quite equates. He's arrogant and yet almost cowardly. And so you can't like it on that score. And he's not cool either. I mean, Avon could get away with doing, really nasty things. But because he looked cool, you'd forgive him for it. But if someone doesn't look cool and they do nasty things or things which are anti-hero.
Yeah.
You look a bit of a prat, don't you? And that was perhaps a mistake. The costume does make a big difference, doesn't it?
Well, I'm sure we'll hit on this more when we do the John Nathan Turner one. But the thing is you take a character with a completely tasteless outfit, and unfortunately, you start him off with a very tasteless attitude. And it was a good idea for Colin to want to start, you know, with a bit rough and then mellow out and make people really like him. But they shouldn't have done it over the course of his whole term. They should have done it, you know, maybe during the course of his first season. But at the same time, you choose one or the other. You don't start with a tasteless outfit and a tasteless character. You pick one and you roll with it. This way, they clash with the character and then things change. If he wore the outfit that he wore and he was the Doctor that he is in the Big Finish plays, I think people really would have taken to him a lot more. Maybe they wouldn't have loved the outfit so much. And believe me, being in the prop and costume world, there are people that do actually love his outfit. And love his Doctor. But I just think that if he had played the character the way that he wanted to end up playing the character from the start, there would be less hate for that character or less talk even about the outfit. People would forgive the outfit in many respects because the character was so good. But unfortunately, they just didn't allow it either way.
There's so much of John Nathan Turner that we've got to avoid getting onto because it's so much material for the next right. one. I mean, the whole idea of the... You know, did he slip into the superhero myth in this, sort of not just in the uniform, but in the characterization, as you say, because Colin Baker's character didn't change. You look at William Hartnell, who did exactly possibly what you're suggesting he should, and what Colin was hoping to do. And, you know, you look at William Hartnell's character is a piece of work for the first, 10 episodes or so. And then he starts to mellow out. So you've had, or perhaps a few more episodes than that. But you have that rough beginning, but then he finds his way, and it was, you know, a couple of stories maybe, and then. But the costume does delineate, and it's interesting when you look at Christopher Eccleston's the choice of costume shows. Do you think it shows that they knew where the Doctor should be, or was it caution? Because the leather jacket and everything was, in some people could argue, it was a very safe costume to give the Doctor. If you see what I mean.
I think it was. Bringing the Doctor back thing. I think stay away from the kind of pseudo 1920s or Victorian or Edwardian sort of outfit. Just give them something that's up to date. But I don't think Christopher Eccleston would have worn anything else, to be honest. Nothing drastically different to what David Tennant wore anyway.
Well, I mean, if you look at everything that they did for the new series, so far they haven't really touched on anything even near the Edwardian, aside from the Next Doctor, which was, you know, throw everybody off, you know. And I think the Next Doctor's outfit would have been a great look for a Doctor. I actually think David Morrissey would have made a great Doctor. But for Eccleston, I think Eccleston would have worn something different because, you know, he probably would like a say and so on. But I think, you know, he does the role and this is the character and that's who he plays. Because the way he talked about it, if you watch The Confidential, he said the jacket was a good look for his Doctor, but it's not something that he would personally wear. So it's not like he was comfortable necessarily in the outfit for himself. It was just, you know, it worked for the character and it worked with what Russell set up, which was the Doctor was in a very hardened state right now. He was in a very rough spot and he was very tough and he was locking people out. And the leather jacket cinematically represented a thick skin to not let people in. And when you think about it, a lot of ways, look at how he was dressed. He was dressed very dark. He had the very, you know, heavy boots, the heavy jacket, you know, and he had a very dark, heavy look about him, you know, with his hairstyle, with his whole demeanor. It would lock people out. It would push people away, even on the street. If it wasn't a Doctor Who character, you might look at somebody like that and not think that they're the friendliest person until you start to talk to them. So it was good, characteristically, for where the Doctor was at that point in his life.
Do you think it helps the writer as well? I mean, so one thing I did notice, as you just said, which is interesting, that the costumes were kept away from the classic archetype that the Doctor is. Let's face it, which the movie compiled into one pastiche, Edwardian Victorian. And by not putting him into that, putting him into leathers and putting him into sort of pseudo, sort of maybe 50s chic pinstripes, kept them away from falling into the formula that had been established and helped them push it somewhere different.
Yeah, I think it probably did. And also, yeah. I think we've overlooked the Eighth Doctor so far, haven't we? And, you know, in the various media, he had a few different outfits, but, you know, in Doctor Who magazine, he ended up with a leather jacket, which was supposed to be a aforementioned of the Ninth Doctor's jacket. But his... And, you know, I absolutely adored it at the time. And, you know, I would certainly be very happy to own one and have it hung up in my wardrobe so I could touch the crushed velvet every now and again. But it is as guilty of being a costume and perhaps not one of particular imagination as Colin Baker's, isn't it?
I could disagree a little bit on that because it does kind of fit in a lot more with the First Doctor. And even John Pertwee, in the respect that it was, those pieces go together and they look like they were meant to go together. And it looks like something that, yeah, instead of the Doctor just pulling stuff out of the closet, you know, this particular Doctor may have pulled these things out because he knew they went together or it was just to his liking. Like Collins and Peters look like they were designed to be some kind of very specific thing, whereas the Doctor just chose a era. You know, I mean, and the way that he chose it, he had no choice. It was all in the same closet and he just put it on. He liked it, whatever. But it just looked like for a time traveler, you know, he found an era that of Earth that he liked or a style that was befitting of him. And I'll be honest, I loved the Eighth Doctor's outfit. I loved everything about it. Was it right? Was it wrong? I really don't know. I think had the show been allowed to grow on TV, I think Paul McGann himself would have done exactly what I was saying with Colin Baker. He would have had that personality that made people be interested and made people like him, despite the fact that he's dressing like something that they wouldn't have done so in modern times. I think he would have had that chance. Sure, probably would have put off some people because some people just aren't into that certain thing. You know, I mean, I don't watch movies about medieval times very well because I actually get bored by it. So if you dress a character in medieval clothing and try and make it be something that'd be interesting to me, I probably wouldn't take to it. So I'm sure clothes do that. But I don't know. I think they did well with his look. I don't. It was, yes, perhaps designed like Peter and Collins, but I think better designed than theirs.
Could I chuck in a rather anal question? Within the continuity, is there stuff that you can pull out just out of, as I say, being a fan that justifies the motivations behind the Doctor's costumes? In a sense, could you sort of say, like with Paul McGann's situation, being that he lives a vagabond sort of roaming life, that there was something quite exciting about finding an outfit that was not his in the same way that Pertwee did and sort of almost passing through and getting a souvenir? Or is there an argument? Could you look at it and sort of say, well, maybe if we look at the Time Lords, we don't get the impression that they change their clothes very much. They sort of have quite a sort of a fairly regulated authority of attire and aesthetic, because they're sort of meant to be obviously quite their society's meant to be sort of fairly sterile by that point.
Mm.
Could again, maybe the cricketer's outfit, could we argue that as an argument, and Colin Baker's eye, that they do look designed? Could it be argued that the Time Lords might actually not quite see the nuances of fashion because they come from a society which lacks them? So the TARDIS having some clothing which is so horrendously styled or garish may look awful to us, but to them, formulated is part of who they are. You know, are there things in the actual stories that we can actually justify?
I think there are, and I think basically it can come down to one main thing for me. It's the Doctor's kind of childlike wonder at the universe. You know, he grew up in that society that you were talking about, the very boring Time Lord society, where they did wear the same robes, they did all the boring things, and they had one of the best tools in all the universe, which was able to see into and travel to any point in time in any planet. You know, but they chose not to use it. You know, but if you have that much wonder and that much interest, certainly with that childlike amazement, going out and seeing something, like, you know, I can't even personally relate to it. If I see something from this TV show become something in reality that I can buy and own, you know, I'm like a 5-year-old child again. So if the Doctor sees something that is just that interesting and amazing to him, and let's take the Fifth Doctor, you know, he clearly did like cricket. You know, he was excited to play cricket in Black Orchid. He used a cricket ball in Fort of Doomsday to save his own life. You know, and he had a very big interest in that. He even used it in the previous incarnation. You know, in Ark in Space, he had a cricket ball on him. He loves it. So maybe in that incarnation, his childlike wonder saw that cricket stuff and just realized this is fantastic. I love this. And yeah, him wearing that outfit in the real world, it doesn't work. People don't get it. Not just the fans, but the people out there that he interacts with don't get it. But he loves it. And that's how you can technically justify it. We all do the same things in our lives. We wear what we wear because it is who we are and what we like.
And that's very much that's how it works. That's very much what the Doctor is about, isn't he? He sort of stands up for being who you are and unashamedly being who you are. And that's one thing that Moffat's obviously tagged onto quite heavily with the bow ties are cool, where the whole joke is obviously bow ties are anything but cool. But to him, he can't see it. To him, they are really exciting. Like a child, he wants to wear that bow tie. I used to like wandering around Tesco's with my mum in this very cheap Darth Vader helmet, and it was so cheap and horrible. The actual insides of the eyepieces actually used to cut into my skin, so I'd go to school with slightly cut skin under my eyes. But I liked it for some reason, and so I did it. And that's that sort of, perhaps it's that sort of childish self-determination on what you want to do is what, as you say, is very much what the Doctor's about, and that reflects in the outfits.
That's definitely how I feel about it. Christian, what do you think?
I can't believe James has just admitted he shops at Tesco's.
I'm guessing it was Tesco's. I was too young to really care, but I'm sure other supermarkets are thankfully available.
Available, yeah. Well, you know, what do I think? I think there's... I agree to a point. I don't think there's a... I mean, yeah, there is a kind of explanation within the series continuity as to why the Doctor is wearing what he wears, but... It doesn't really matter, does it? It's more about the character and how, you know, ultimately that's what it's there for. It's to play a part in defining the character. And, you know, for different Doctors, it's worked in different ways. When we haven't mentioned the Second Doctor at all, does that mean that it worked really well for the Second Doctor, or that it's worked so badly that we daren't mention it? I think it's worked so well for the Second Doctor that his outfit, which, if I remember rightly, changed when he did mysteriously, is probably possibly the most perfect of them all,
or it's the most perfect outfit
of all the Doctors, because it kind of encompasses that particular character perfectly.
And I see what you're saying. I'll give you that. It certainly from the off became exactly who he was. Yeah. Actually, it more so, it worked better in the respect that it wasn't necessarily who he was, it was who he chose to show. Because there were other times when he showed that he wasn't that fool or that little silly man, you know, he knew full well what he was doing. But this guise that he put up was very good at fooling those that he was trying to put that persona on for. And technically, yes, of course, it was him to a degree, because, you know, he did like to have that lifestyle. But you're right. It definitely fit the character very well.
But is it, couldn't there just be an argument that it was a pastiche on the chaplain? Was it sort of meant to be a sort of quite sort of chaplain-esque?
I think that's that was a starting point, wasn't it?
But I mean,
just like the Fourth Doctor's starting point was that poster.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, a lot of them have that kind of start somewhere, or at least, you know, a couple of them. Certainly, Paul McGann's starting point was the First Doctor. But I don't know. I mean, I guess it's chaplain-esque in a way. He doesn't have the big silly shoes, thankfully.
Or the Hitler mustache, or the slug balancing act, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. And the clothes, while they were ill-fitting, they kind of were more fitting in reality to me in the respect that while they changed with him, which was a bad call in my opinion, it was good that they were ill-fitting in the fact that they were too large. Because it does seem like something that maybe this guy would just pull clothes out because he knew he couldn't walk around the universe naked. You know, I need to wear something. And he just threw these clothes on. No one's going to dress really like Charlie Chaplin, where they wear clothes that were far too small and too large. So I think if you put the two side by side, you'd see similarities in the fact that they're both kind of like vagabonds. But I don't really think that they're that similar, aside from that, in my opinion.
What do you think, James?
I don't know. I mean, I think it was a response to a bit of it. To me, it seemed like a response to the Chaplin, Stooges, maybe as well.
Well, Iggy and the Stooges.
Absolutely. That's uh-huh. The Stooges, obviously, I was referring to.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything bad in that. I'm just saying that I don't think it was a fantastically original move, but it was certainly the forefront of defining the Doctor, finding ways to define a new Doctor, which was obviously the intent there. There was no intent him to try and play William Hartnell. He was having to try and find his own route. And while maybe as a forerunner to the JNT approach, the idea that Hartnell's was actually quite a proper, quite prim and quite neatly dressed, really, that his would be a little more, a little less refined. And yeah, I agree. I think it worked, and I don't disagree. His character is justified by the costume, and vice versa. They do sit well. He's very flustered, very quick thinking, very rough. You would never imagine him ironing. You'd never imagine him finding time to iron. And if he did, the iron would burst into flames, and he'd rush over and knock over some other stuff, which would cause an acid reaction. You know, he's that sort of person, and so it does reflect, and I can see when we talk about that where the frustration was for Peter Davison, where despite the fact that the character was meant to love cricket, it didn't really reflect, it didn't give anything for Davison to really work from as a costume, because it felt like a costume. And I think that
it gave him one thing to work off of, essentially,
which was something
the cricket.
Which wasn't something aside from two moments, anything as a character you could really build on. Well, if they'd given him, as I think we said in a previous podcast, something which was a little closer to, you know, Scarman or to Christian Farnan, something which was a little more authentic, it might have given him a position or something he could imagine. So rather than sort of trying to be a superhero, rather than trying to be like a Superman, he'd be trying to be like Clark Kent, something that you can identify because he's a person. That was probably a big... And I do feel that. I do feel he still has regrets over that, that it was a role that I don't think he ever felt that he handled well, even though I loved him in it. I don't think he personally feels he handled it well because he didn't feel he had anything to really to mold.
He kind of had that opposite thing of Colin Baker that I was talking about. And not to down Colin Baker, because I really like him. Like I said, he does fantastic in the Big Finish plays, and I do enjoy his TV series. But Peter was allowed to have this odd outfit but make his Doctor likable. So therefore, a lot of people really like his Doctor. He was a very good Doctor. He didn't let the outfit and his personality or his characterization stay the same. You know, he played the part as the part should have been played. He was just wearing a cricket outfit, you know. So I think that just worked really well for him. He's a lot of people that I know. He's a lot of their favorites.
I think it's one of those sad things. I mean, I remember reading an interview with Stephen Pacey played, again, going back to Blake Seven, Tarrant, and him, someone saying, what sort of character did Tarrant have? And he said he didn't have a character. I might have said this in a podcast before, to be fair. So, listener, if you've listened to this before, you're going to hear it again. But in this context, and the point was that even if he didn't feel he had a character, his personality and approach to acting along informed the character. So regardless of the script, it felt like a person. And I felt that with Davison. I felt that the Doctor felt like a person, even if I'm not sure that he really felt he was delivering, because he doesn't see his own personality when he's acting. He only sees what he can do. It's a shame, because I really love Davison. I still do.
You know, there's also something else interesting that I had noticed, and it goes back to actually when you were talking about bow ties in reality not actually being cool. And I started thinking about past Doctors, like going back to all their different looks. And realizing, look at the new series. You have Christopher Eccleston, which when he got cast, there were a lot of people on forums and so on saying, you know, oh, I like this. He dresses like I already do. Then you get David Tennant, and all of a sudden, all the shops, even to this day, still have Converse sneakers with suits on their display mannequins. And then the Converse shoes, they took off everywhere. Everybody's all of a sudden wearing them again. Then you get Matt Smith. And again, you get the shop window dummies that have bow ties and boots. And a lot of them actually, I see, do have the rolled up pants. And it's like, the question is, do these designers, when they started designing these outfits for, we'll just take Tennant and Smith, did they look at what was trending and becoming fashionable? Or did they just happen to do the same thing and then they became fashionable or what? You know, like, how did it work? But in the past, we've never actually, to my knowledge anyway, certainly not here in this country, have seen any other doctor kind of set a trend for what people might wear in their personal lives.
I just thought we might just wrap things up, and I was going to just ask you both a question. But before we do that, just going back to Tarrant and Blake Seven, I think it's fair to say he was a kind of a collision of Avon and Blake, wasn't he, really, character-wise?
Well, he had a very interesting... He's another perfect example, and I'll try not going off tangent too much, of a character which within the show you can justify his changes, and out of the show you can justify his changes. He started off intended to be Avon's replacement, and Darrow would become like Blake. Darrow rejected that, saying that he would not become like Blake, he would stay like Avon. So they then had to work out what they were going to do with Tarrant.
Yeah.
And then Tarrant eventually in the show has a confrontation with Avon, and it seems after that he loses the pecking order and falls down. But all the way through, you do feel there's a character there, whether it was intentional or not. And I do find it fascinating in all these shows, be it Doctor Who or whatever, you see these nuances which make sense. And you, if you ask the writers, they'll suddenly go, no, we didn't mean that. But it looks like they do. Or if it doesn't matter if they didn't, but it does in the show feel like there is. And for things like Tarrant, you feel that he was a very bolsterous character, very confident, very good at what he does. But he came across a force like Avon, who is one in a million.
Yeah.
Who just dominated him to the point where he just became a lot more bluster because he just lost that power play. And that's fascinating when you get that in shows and characters. And it's a shame that Colin didn't get that with his Doctor, that he didn't get that opportunity to remold. I know he did little for his second season, and he has a lot in Big Finish, but there was no natural progression there, really. It'd be nice if he'd had a... It'd be nice if Perry's intended death, which obviously was changed, had happened earlier, and that had been something which could have reformatted the character, given him something to... Because we've never had that really with the Doctor.
No.
A little maybe with Peter Davison, with the, you know, Planet of... Case of Androzani, when you see Adric appear, and you get this impression, the whole idea is that in his head, the death of Adric is actually something which still lingers with him.
Well, you get it a bit with the Fourth Doctor as well, when he changes producers, but not within the... Not within the narrative, it just kind of happens, doesn't it?
Where the power play goes in Tom Baker's favour. You do get these, yes, it's not, I don't think you really get it in many others. You get it obviously a lot in the new series. David Tennant is massively affected when Rose leaves. But in the old series, you don't. And it's a shame, because those could be really good ways of, again, I know we said this the other week, but Eccleston, you know, if he'd stayed on for another season, the effects of Parting of the Waves could have actually given him a new lease of life, that Doctor.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, right, so we've got 49 years of outfits to think about. So it's a simple question, which is your favorite Doctor's outfit?
I think it might be fairly obvious which one I've taken, like, But in all honesty, which one encompasses what I have thought of the Doctor for years? It's probably not well liked, but I really, really did think that Paul McGann had a great look for what I always used to think the Doctor was. And it was like this character who didn't fit in with our time. For some reason, I always pictured Doctor Who as our time was the current time, whichever time we're currently living in right now. And he always had to look a bit off for that. And mm-hmm. somehow Paul McGann really worked well in that respect for me. It looked like he felt he belonged here, but he didn't look like he belonged here. So I might actually go with his okay. as much as I like others. But
James?
I think I will go with, it's hard because I quite liked Christopher Eccleston's in the sense that it was a costume that, yes, I sort of think I was wearing at the time anyway, or
yeah,
before yeah. it. But I think I'll go with McCoy's because I loved the umbrella. I loved the small little nuances he did with that. It was a bit in the Happiness Patrol, which again I've said on a podcast, where he almost steps out of the waiting zone and the gun's pointed at him, and he just takes his umbrella, his foot still in the air, takes the umbrella and just nudges and spins on his other heel back into the waiting zone. It's just those little, I just loved that prop. I just think it gave him a lot of personality. But I just loved the same with Troughton, the messiness of it, that you felt there could be things in different pockets. It felt energetic, it felt vibrant. Get rid of the pullover, yeah, but aside from that, it just felt brilliant. And I love the hat as well. I used to love the roll with this hat that I sometimes do that myself, because I have a few hats myself, and he used to roll it up his arm. And it was just these tiny things which just made him feel a little out of sync, and not Edwardian or like back in time, not Victorian or Edwardian as the Doctor was tends to always have to be, just out of sync. And I like that.
Okay.
Just about you.
I think probably the Third Doctor's season 7. It's a little bit less over the top. No, that's not strictly true. I think because the style of those episodes matches his outfit and his persona better than the later episodes do. So although the capes are there, it's still he doesn't tend to be. He seems to be more naturally, subtly grand than he might be later on when he sort of like just storms into a room with his cape flowing behind him, in maybe the Sea Devils or the Demons or something, than he does in the season 7 episodes, which is Silurian's Inferno, Ambassadors of Death, etc. I just think it all fits together a lot better in those. And of course, that's one of the rarities. It was of the time as well. And I don't think, and I mean, I know there's been arguments that perhaps there was an aspect of the Fourth Doctor's outfit that was maybe did inspire a look, or maybe was in tune with the look of undergraduates at the time. But I think that the Third Doctor's outfit was, you know, crushed velvet was in those days. And I think it's the only time where he's had a kind of contemporary look all the way up until 2005. So that's mine, I think.
Interesting choices, actually. I like them all.
What's about you, dear listener? Really? I wouldn't agree with that.
Are you sure?
No, he's clearly not a Doctor Who fan.
Did we really just go to children's TV right there? Is this where our podcast is going now?
It's pantomime.
It is pantomime.
Pantocast. And that brings us to the end of this week's
Pantocast.
And so thank you very much for joining us once again, dear listener. And we'll see you next time. Goodbye.